Hello and good morning and welcome to Core Finance. I'm Matt Brown and it is Friday the 20th of October. I'm joined by Ronnie Chopra, who is an author at Wall Street Wires. Ronnie, thank you very much for joining us here on a wet and breezy Friday morning. Are you well?
Very good, thank you.
Good, good. Well, let's kick off with the headlines and the market movers. We've seen the markets up, pushed higher by Wall Street, awaiting a potential Fed chair announcement, which is quite big news, and Japanese elections taking place over the weekend. We've seen tax cuts or the tax reform bill finally get through Senate overnight, and that kind of pushed the banks higher, and we're seeing that happen in European markets this morning. What's your take on the market?
The Dow futures is very strong. It's up another 100-odd points after the passing of these tax cuts through Congress?
Senate.
And yes, we've got the Japanese election on Sunday, which the market seems to be taking in its stride. So no room for any kind of disappointment.
And we saw, obviously, with the general election here in the UK, it felt like it was nailed on for May, but it actually became
very close,
and that spooked the market. So certainly, I think probably today the markets will trade with a slight positive, but a bit tentative, aware of things happening over the weekend. Moving on, looking at the FTSE one to watch, you've picked the stock BT. Let's have a look at the chart. It's been out of favour, obviously, for quite a while now. What's your view on this? Is it time to turn around?
It's on fundamentals, it looks very attractive. Mm-hmm. It has a dividend yield in excess of 6%, which in this low interest rate environment is very attractive. Obviously, they've had problems in Italy, and that's why early this year the shares fell very sharply overnight, mm-hmm. losing 25% of its value. But they're also touted as a possible bid target because they've come down so much. They've got a wide array of different divisions. Now they're into mobile phones, they own mm-hmm. EE. Obviously, the TV division is doing very well. They're a strong competitor to Sky. They've just won the highlights to show the Ashes mm-hmm. this coming winter, taken that away from Sky, which is quite surprising, quite a coup. And obviously, with the penetration of the mobile phone market, they've got a fairly strong kind of asset base to go forward from. And remember, these shares were trading around £15 back in 2000. So they've had a tremendous fall. Mm-hmm. They were floated back in 1984 at £1.30. So they've been on the market for, 33 years?
Yes.
And I just think that the fall is well overdone. Obviously, the chart looks pretty horrendous. Mm-hmm. But for bargain hunters out there and for possible predators as well, I mean, the valuation is extremely low. They're cutting costs. The regulatory body is coming into their favour as well. So I just think that, yes, they have come down too much and we should start to see these recovering fairly soon.
I think they've got results out
November the 2nd. Which is very soon, so that could be the catalyst.
But I think there's always the big concern with BT is the pension deficits overhanging. So certainly for shareholders, it would be interesting to see on November the 2nd if they need to make any more provisions for the pension.
Yeah. But I think that's factored into the share price. I mean, they've come down so much that all that bad news is in. I mean, unless, of course, there are any shocks on November the 2nd, but I think, they've basically thrown the kitchen sink and these should start to recover.
Fantastic. And looking at the FTSE as a whole, a strong performance certainly over the recent months. Yeah.
The
Trump effect indeed, and that's still feeding through. However, it does feel as if it's lagging the other indices. When you look at how the Dow's performing, even the DAX has picked up of late. Why is the FTSE out of favour, and really should it be down at these levels?
I think it's slightly out of favour. Obviously, the whole Brexit concern mm-hmm. is casting a cloud. But again, from a global perspective, the FTSE 100 is much cheaper than other indices, mm-hmm. especially the likes of the Dow. But it's just because of perhaps, the problems with Europe at the moment, the Brexit negotiations, that we seem to be underperforming. Mm-hmm. And also what makes it even stranger recently is that sterling's come off a little bit. against the dollar, but just hovering above the 131 level. And that should really give the FTSE a further boost, which it hasn't. We've also got many companies in the FTSE 100 that are potential bid targets. Mm-hmm. Just the likes of BT, even, you know, which we just talked about. And there are countless other companies that are very cheap when compared to global peers. And one mustn't forget that a lot of these FTSE 100 companies are major global companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think two-thirds of the earnings.
Yeah, pretty much 70% of earnings are in non-sterling currency. So it's baffling to see the FTSE underperforming like this.
Quick question for you, Ronnie. If, Saudi Arabia is looking to float Aramco maybe over the next few years or the next year, hopefully, would you be looking to list in the UK or in the US, bearing in mind, you know, the FTSE underperformance?
I don't think there's much difference between the US and the UK when it comes to floating a company. We're still one of the most attractive places to float. We are probably the financial centre of the world. Mm-hmm. So whether it's here or in New York, I don't really think it makes much difference. But I mean, going back to your question regarding the fact that we have underperformed the Dow, maybe from that perspective, the Saudis may look to the US rather than to us. But I think that Saudi Arabia and the UK have a slightly closer relationship, or there seem to be a lot more Saudi Arabians mm-hmm. coming to the UK than going to the US. So maybe that's in our favour.
Understood. Moving on, let's have a look at the pound. Cabled a little bit lower. We've seen some dollar strength on the back of the tax reforms getting through the Senate. And euro sterling, you've brought along a chart. Let's have a look at euro sterling, or the reciprocal, the pound against the euro. Some people like to trade it. Look, it's underperformed this year. It's had a bit of an uplift in September. The pound performed very well. It's given back a little bit of late. Mm. Where can it go against the euro now?
I just think that, again, from a purchasing power point of view, sterling looks quite cheap, mm-hmm. especially to the euro. The euro has strengthened quite considerably over the last few months, which, again, is quite baffling considering what's happening in Catalonia, in Spain. We've had Austrian elections that, you know, have shown how strong the right wing are. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised, actually, by the strength in the euro. So I see there being a little bit of a recovery for the pound. I think we should go back towards the 120 level from the current 110, 111 over the next 6 months.
Fantastic. Bullish on the pound. Moving on, let's have a look at today's economic calendar. We've got the European Council meeting, which is ongoing. Canadian CPI data out. That's one for all you loony traders out there. Baker Hughes rig count, interesting one for oil traders.
Yeah, it's always important.
So look out for that. Yellen and Mester speaking later on. Japanese election, though. And
I think that's the big one, isn't it, for the weekend.
Watch out for that. And as we said at the top of the show, maybe a bit of, not risk off, but tentative trading today ahead of the weekend.
No doubt. But I think, the Dow will probably open a lot stronger again because of the Senate result for the tax cuts. So, it should be a strong Friday.
Fantastic. Well, once again, Ronnie, thank you very much for joining us today on Core Finance.